May 22nd, 2015, and welcome to today's Photo by Greg Photo Daily. Now, in the previous or the last episode of the Photo by Greg Photo Daily, I was talking about one of the things that mobile phone and tablet manufacturers don't really tell you about with those particular devices when it comes to shooting, particularly video or even recording audio on those devices. And that is, of course, that the built-in microphone often on phones and also tablets isn't actually particularly good. So, for example, if you're going to be shooting a Vox Pop-style interview and you're in a crowded environment, then actually using the microphone on the device itself can actually be quite challenging. They're not really built to deal with very noisy or busy environments. So then I went on to talk about the idea of how to shoot around that, by actually maybe finding quieter environments to shoot in, or finding a quiet room, for example, if you're wanting to do an interview or something like that. And then I also spoke about the idea of maybe buying some extra equipment. Now, there's a series of mics called iRig mics. They're by a company called IK Multimedia. That's ikmultimedia.com. And they do a whole series of microphones that are specially designed to go with your tablet or your smartphone, that will actually immediately improve the sound with those devices. So check out the previous episode, and also go to ikmultimedia.com and you can check out the iRig mics. They're actually not stupidly expensive, and they're a really good addition to your tablet or your mobile phone to be able to record both audio and video on those devices a lot better than just recording using the microphone on the device itself. What I actually want to start talking about in this edition of the Photo by Greg Photo Daily are some of the nuts and bolts of video and photography. Things like composition, lighting, some of the technical aspects to do with the device itself, with cameras themselves, to do with exposure and shutter speed and things like that. But I want to talk about them in a very down-to-earth way. Like I said in the previous episode, none of what I'm going to talk about is rocket science, so please do hang in there. And a lot of the things I'm going to talk about, they're going to be very basic photography skills that once you know them, and once you start paying attention to them and actually start practicing them a little bit, then you'll immediately improve your own photography skills. And that will actually be relevant for whether you're shooting with a smartphone or a tablet, or even if you have a DSLR-style camera, a more regular style of photo camera or video camera. These skills will apply to those as well. So you'll immediately be able to improve your overall kind of photography skills if you hang in there and listen to some of the things that I'm going to tell you over the coming episodes. And what I want to start out with is talking about some of the elements of composition. I'm going to be talking about composition, I think, today and also in tomorrow's Photo Daily as well, because it's quite a broad subject to cover, but it is actually one of the basic subjects that once you have a few kind of key ideas in your mind about how composition works, again, like I say, it can immediately improve your overall skills as a photographer or a videographer. Now, how do you define what composition is? Well, you could say that composition, or the composition of a photograph, or the composition of a shot when you're shooting video, is how you decide to frame things within the frame that the device that you're using creates when you set up a particular shot. So objects in the foreground, objects in the background, the things that the elements that you decide to include in the frame that the device or the camera creates. You could also say that composition is defined by the relationship between the different elements within a particular picture. So whatever is in the foreground or whatever is in the background, what is the relationship between those things and how do they sit together in the particular frame that you're creating overall? And what I actually want to talk about today is actually the relationship between what's in the foreground and what's in the background. That's one of the initial kind of very basic things to do with composition that you need to start thinking about if you're wanting to shoot photos or scoop up some video using your device. In the context of doing, say, an interview, you'll have an interview subject that you want to position in front of the camera. And of course, you'll normally position them within a meter or so of the camera, and you'll have kind of a head and shoulders style shot, normally with them slightly off to one side, maybe looking from left to right slightly, so they're looking just off camera, as if they're actually just speaking to someone who's just kind of standing right beside the camera. That's a fairly normal setup, and you'll see that a lot if you watch the news or you see documentaries, or even if you see little Vox Pop style interviews on YouTube and places like that. You'll see that as a very familiar kind of setup. And that's actually kind of positioning your main subject. So that's the person that you're interviewing. They're your main subject. So where you choose to put them in the frame and how you choose to frame them, of course, is enormously important. And like I say, the one that you see a lot is the typical kind of head and shoulders style shot where they're looking slightly off to camera and just talking as if they're talking to someone who's just off camera. And that's a fairly easy setup to do. But one of the things you might not think about when you go to do that kind of setup, if you haven't done it many times before, or you're not aware that you need to think about it, is that you also need to think about what's behind that person. So what's in the background? When I do the video journalism that I need to do, quite often the backbone of the pieces that I need to make do consist of an interview. So it'll be someone sitting there talking in the classic kind of, head and shoulders composition that I just described. And then as they're talking, we'll have a few shots of them talking, and then maybe we'll cut away to some shots of them at work or their colleagues or some shots around the office, things like that. Again, that's a very familiar setup that you've probably seen many times. When you watch, for example, documentaries or a news report, quite often when somebody's talking, you'll have these little kind of cutaway shots that really kind of visualize a little bit what they're talking about. What you'll see when you actually see the head and shoulders, the interview shot itself, is that you need to start paying attention to what's in the background. When I turn up to shoot these kind of pieces with companies, or if I'm at a conference or something like that, and I'm shooting these style of interviews, one of the things I do is I really take a good look at what's in the background. So for example, when I turn up at an office, normally the place that they want to do the interview is in their meeting room. So quite often we'll go down to their meeting room, and if it's large enough to be able to do what we need to do, then we tend to use that. So then I'll position the person where I want them to be inside the room, and then I'll position the camera, and then I'll start looking at the background. And I can guarantee you that many meeting rooms, they have things like whiteboards, and they have things like plants. Quite often they'll have a big kind of pot plant sitting on the floor in a corner of the room, or they'll have a whiteboard on the wall, which of course normally has kind of things stuck to it with magnets and lots of things written on it and things like that. So quite often, one of the first things I'll do is when I look at the background is I'll actually say, okay, there's a pot plant there sitting on the floor. So I'll start to think about the relationship within the frame between that and how it actually affects the main subject. If the main subject is sitting there in the foreground and the pot plant in the background is actually kind of just behind the person, and say some of the leaves or some of the stems coming out of the plant or some of the branches, if it's kind of more of a tree-style pot plant, if they're sort of just behind the person and those leaves are kind of slightly sticking out from behind their face, for example, or I'll look and the part of the pot plant actually looks as though it's slightly sticking out from above the person's head, something like that, what I tend to do is I will actually remove the pot plant completely. This is because what you have to remember is when it comes to video and when it comes to photography, although you can perceive things in three dimensions, it's actually a two-dimensional medium. So when you're watching TV or when you're watching a video online, or when you're looking at a photo that's printed in a book or even a photo that's actually published online, that's actually a two-dimensional medium. So when you're actually capturing things using a camera, you're taking our three-dimensional world and you're making it flat, two dimensions. So something that's actually behind someone in the background actually becomes almost like it's under a microscope of some sort. It will actually really have a huge effect to your main subject in the foreground. So things like pot plants, for example, that are actually just sitting behind someone who is kind of in the foreground of a frame, and those kind of leaves and twigs and things are kind of sticking out behind them. Maybe they look as though they're sticking out of the person's, the top of the person's head, or just out of the from behind their face. Those kind of elements are enormously distracting for someone who's actually watching your video or actually seeing this still frame for the first time. So, like I said, what I normally do, if there's anything like that in the background, like a pot plant, I normally move it completely out of the frame because I'm aware that, things like that are just hugely distracting. So if it's behind the person, I'll move it over so it's not behind the person. And quite often, to be honest, I find even if I move it off to a different part of the frame, it still looks very distracting. It looks a little bit untidy. So I tend to take pot plants and move them completely out of my frame because I just feel that they're, from a relationship point of view between your subject in the foreground and what's going on in the background, I just think they look a little bit untidy. So clean up the frame that way. Move things like that completely out. And the same goes with whiteboards. You'll sit someone down and you'll have them in the foreground. And maybe it will look nice to have the whiteboard in the background, but then pay attention to what's actually written on the whiteboard. What are the things there? To be honest, quite often, if I'm going to somebody's office and I'm shooting a little bit of video journalism, I'm doing some kind of profile video about that particular company, for example, then I'll ask them about what's on the whiteboard. Because that might be something from a meeting that they've just had with a client, or it might be a meeting they've had within the company, something that they don't really want to have shared on social media in any kind of way. So I immediately normally ask them about what it is that's on the whiteboard and whether or not that's something that, if it is in the background, is something that can be shown. And more often than not, they'll look and say, oh yes, that's notes from our last meeting. We should get rid of those. So again, that's paying attention to what's in the background. If it's something like a whiteboard, what's on the whiteboard? Ask them about it. And of course, if it's something that looks a little bit untidy, if it's something, again, that looks a little bit distracting, then maybe just erase it and put something else on there. Or actually use some of the magnets just to arrange some leaflets and some other things. But just pay attention to what's there on that whiteboard. And decide whether or not it's something that can be shown, and decide whether or not it's distracting or looks untidy, and then take the appropriate action from there. Or perhaps you might even decide that maybe the whiteboard is too dominant. So then maybe you want to move your camera setup completely so you have something else in the background as well. Other things to consider when it comes to the relationship between the background and your main subject in the foreground is whether or not the background is too busy. So, for example, if you're shooting a Vox Pop style interview at a conference, what's going on in the background? Are there lots of people walking up and down? Is there a lot of activity going on? Are there a lot of things that are actually going to take the attention away from the person that's in the foreground? If there is a lot of activity in the background and it is very distracting, maybe it's also going to be distracting for the person who's actually being interviewed and they're trying to talk. And there's noises going on, there's lots of people running around, or there's lots of people walking around, a lot of up and down traffic of people walking about. That can also be enormously distracting for the person who's actually being interviewed. So think a little bit about where you place the person in the foreground, but also think a lot about what's in the background. What's there? Is it distracting? Is it actually going to take the audience's attention away from what the person is saying? Or is it actually going to take the audience's attention away from your main subject, from a compositional point of view? Is it going to be distracting, or does it look untidy in that way? From a compositional point of view, the simpler you can make the background, the better. Of course, you don't want to take it to the extreme where you're just actually shooting someone, or you're filming someone, or you're shooting a photo of someone where they're just up against a blank wall. of course, we do that all the time in the studio, right? When we're taking photos, when photographers are taking photos of people in the studio, then of course, quite often the background is very plain. But then we compensate for that by actually setting up a lot of lights and actually really making the foreground subject really pop and look as interesting as possible. Whereas if you're filming in an environment where you're just grabbing a Vox Pop interview or you're at an office or something like that, and you don't have that additional lighting to be able to do that, then actually just filming or taking a photo of someone up against a blank wall actually looks really, really flat and dull. So you want to have the dynamics of having depth to your background and having some things in the background that are actually there. But as many of those elements that you can take out to keep it simpler, the better. So that's really what I want you to think about out of today's Photo by Greg Photo Daily. Start thinking about composition. Think about how you frame things within the frame that the camera creates. But really think about the relationship between what's in the foreground, the main thing that you're actually wanting to capture with your photo or your piece of video, and what's in the background. Is what's in the background actually supporting the idea that this is the main subject, or is it actually distracting from it? Is it actually something that's actually going to take the audience's attention away from the thing that you actually want them to pay attention to? All right, thanks for listening. That's today's Photo by Greg Photo Daily. And in tomorrow's episode, we're also going to continue along the line of composition, and we're actually going to cover something called the rule of thirds. So I will catch you tomorrow.